We're going to spend a few minutes talking about not talking, actually, or at least not always feeling compelled to talk. When Susan Cain published Quiet, The Power of Introverts in a World That Can't Stop Talking back in 2012, it caused a sensation. The book was on bestseller lists for months, and her TED Talk got more than 13 million views. Cain also co-founded Quiet Revolution, a company that seeks to give introverts tools to succeed while still embracing their inner quiet selves. Well, now Susan Cain is taking her message to young people with the book Quiet Power, The Secret Strengths of Introverts. And she joins us now to talk about it via Skype. Susan Cain, welcome to Here and Now.
Thanks, Meghna. It's so great to be here.
It's great to talk with you. And before we get into the specifics about why thinking about introverts and young people is important, let's just start with some definitions here. Because when we say introverts, we're not talking about people who are, you know, socially crippled or have exceeding shyness, are we?
No, we're not. Though the book does talk about shyness as well as introversion, but they are different things. So introversion is really about where you get your energy and about generally just kind of feeling more alive and switched on when you have plenty of time to recharge in a quieter setting. Shyness is more about excessive fear of social judgment and a tendency to feel socially embarrassed or uncomfortable. Mm-hmm. And you can be introverted without being shy. You could be shy without being introverted. You can be both. But I do, from a cultural point of view, tend to treat these traits together as a constellation because I think that people who are either shy or introverted tend to have similar experiences in culture, and that's particularly true for children at school.
Right. So let's talk about that. Why did you think it was important to take all that you had learned and researched about adult introversion and apply it in the context of young people's lives?
Because after my book for adults came out, I started to hear from, I mean, literally thousands of kids and parents and educators talking about what a big deal this topic was to them. The idea of these kids finally having permission to be themselves and of the educators kind of having an aha moment of thinking, oh, wait a minute, I think I need to do something differently in the classroom, but not quite knowing what that different thing was. And same thing from parents. And then I was also hearing from regular grownups who were, you know, 40, 50, 60 years old. And so many of the letters that I got from these readers were talking about things that had happened to them decades earlier when they were children and were somehow sent the message that there was something wrong with them or with their preference of how to spend their time.
I mean, anyone who's observed young children, whether it's, you know, family members or through parents or in a school setting, as you said, it's social life is so fraught for young people, and of course, especially teens. But we're talking about traits that are deep. They're hardwired. I mean, I'm just thinking about stuff I've seen on the playground with my own little ones. And there's always those kids who just dive right into the fray at the beginning of any activity and those who sort of hang back and watch. And that's just who they are, both of them, neither right nor wrong. But embracing who they are seems to be kind of a tough thing to do in a society where aspects of extroversion are really valued and encouraged at a young age, isn't it?
Oh, yeah, exactly. So it is true. These traits are for, you know, many kids really hardwired, and you can see them. If you're paying attention, you can see them from the time the kids are babies, really. And yes, the quieter, more cautious, or more reserved children are sent the message, often unwittingly, that they should try to change somehow their behavior. I don't know. I guess you could have a kid who's like super rambunctious and into everything who also gets the message that they need to tone it down a little bit.
Right.
But, you know, not that much.
Well, Susan, in your book, you actually give some strategies for kids, for ways of them to work within, you know, what their natural introverted natures are. And you tell them to embrace their superpowers. Now, in the context of kids and teens, what do you mean by that?
Well, you know, it can take different forms for different children, but these kids tend to be incredibly creative. They tend to have the wherewithal to be able to sit and focus on whatever the thing is that they want to do, whether it's a sport or a musical instrument or an art project or what have you. So that's a real superpower, you know, the ability to listen. There's also you know, we know from the adult research that introverted leaders often deliver better outcomes than extroverted leaders do. So like I think of one girl who we interviewed for the book who really wanted to be a peer leader within her school. And she was very interested in helping younger kids branch out socially in ways that she wished she had done herself when she was their age. So in some ways she was helping them to navigate school differently from the way she herself had done it, but doing it from this very empathetic perspective.
Well, so let's talk about advice that you provide young people in the book for like sort of the very real day-to-day examples of what, you know, kids are asked to do in school. Like, I'm thinking, for example, class participation. It's always, you know, it's a major part of most classes in middle school and high school. For introverted young people, how do you advise them to handle participating in the way that benefits them most?
So, you know, we've seen two different techniques that are actually quite different, but they work for different reasons. One would be to prepare in advance what you might want to say in class. And then it's often helpful to give yourself a push to speak up early in the classroom rather than waiting until the tension builds. Because if you speak up early, other people will then start directing their comments to you and you start to feel more like a presence in the classroom. And it's a very positive feeling. Now, having said that, we talked to kids who had exactly the opposite experience. And for them, it was much more comfortable to wait until a few others have spoken and then maybe to build on those comments or, you know, take the time to gather what it is you want to say and how you want to interject. So I would just say to, you know, experiment with these different ways of doing it, but from the point of view that it's okay that this is uncomfortable for you and you should know how many other kids feel the exact same way, even though no one talks about it.
Yeah. Well, what about other group situations? Obviously, there's a lot of group projects and group work in American education today. That's one thing. And then, of course, there's just the general, you know, social groups question in middle schools and high schools, especially. How should introverted young people navigate that?
Yeah, it's often much more comfortable in a group to figure out what role each person is going to take and to try to choose a role that is comfortable for you and that you enjoy and are energized by, you know, and really do try to divide everybody's tasks up as discreetly as possible. And in terms of social groups, I mean, that I think the real challenge, especially during the middle school years, is deciding which social group you want to join in the first place and what are you willing to do to be a part of that social group or not? And, you know, kind of what are the unspoken rules of membership in your social group?
The truth is that we are living in a society where collaboration, group work, you know, having to put yourself out there in certain circumstances is a fact of life. All of those things are a fact of life now, for better or for worse. I know there'll be a lot of debate about that. But you do also suggest that introverts, you know, as young people, ought to sometimes go outside their comfort zone as well, right?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. And I'll say that for the rest of your lives. So not just when you're young, but always. But the key is to step outside your comfort zone in the service of something that really matters to you. It could be you want to really live abroad and learn a foreign language and you know it'll be uncomfortable, but you want to do it. It could be you want to play a musical instrument, but that requires performing in front of other people and that makes you scared. There's no human being on this earth who achieves anything really without having moments outside their comfort zone.
Yeah. Finally, in the book, you present sort of a guide for parents and teachers and adults who really want to do what they can to support an introverted child in their life. I mean, just briefly, can you tell us a little bit about what I was about to say, grown-ups? You can see I spend a lot of my time with very young children. what adults can do to support kids?
Sure. So some of this, and I'm speaking now of parents, is making sure that you give your quieter children the recharge time that they need. So when they get home from school, you know, of course, there's so much pressure nowadays to have your kids scheduled up with lots of different activities. But remember that school is already like going to a cocktail party all day long. So they might really want to just chill when they get home. And it can sometimes seem that kids don't like a given activity when they might actually really like the activity, and what they don't like is just having to shuttle from that activity to the next one, to the next one. So recharge time is key. Another one is just understanding the principle of the long runway, that for introverted kids and teens and adults, all of us, you know, often have to travel down longer runways before they take off and fly. So it can take longer to get to a range of comfort with doing something new. So as the adults in a child's life, being with them on that long runway, giving them the time that they need, can go a really long way.
Well, Susan Cain's new book is Quiet Power, The Secret Strengths of Introverts. It's been really wonderful to talk with you, Susan. Thank you so much.
Oh, thank you. It's been a pleasure to be here.